Obituary.
Maggie Smith, the Dowager Countess of Comic Timing, died on September 27th, aged 89.
By the time she was in Downton Abbey, the television series in which she played the waspish Dowager Countess of Grantham, Maggie Smith was 75 years old and had won every acting prize you could name. And yet, she told an interviewer, "I'd led a perfectly normal life. Nobody knew who the hell I was." That was not quite true. Her fellow Brits already deemed her a national treasure. But she could go unrecognised in public because she disappeared so completely into her roles, switching occupations, temperaments, and social classes with apparent ease. Whereas other stars often played themselves, she was a chameleon, always subservient to her role. On stage or screen, she was poised and precise. In her rare televised interviews, she seemed hesitant, searching, and uncertain. It would be easy to mistake her, in passing on the street, for someone who looked a bit like Maggie Smith's slightly bewildered sister. She was witty in life and devastatingly so with a script. Whether playing a humble piano teacher or a lofty aristocrat, her comic timing was deadly, her barbs slipping between the audience's ribs like unexpected daggers. In Evil Under the Sun, her Daphne Castle says of an old rival from the chorus line, "I could never compete." Even in those days, she could always throw her legs up in the air higher than any of us, and wider. She came from Ilford, an unprepossessing patch of East London. Her parents were lower middle class and aspirational. She was raised amid Britain's dreary post-war austerity, when petrol and bacon were rationed, and drew on this in 1948 in A Private Function, a dark comedy that her biographer, Michael Coveney, called Nearly Perfect. She played Joyce Chilvers, a social climber quivering with resentment and ambition. For Joyce, subsisting on spam is humiliating. She yearns for something fancier and persuades her put-upon husband to steal a black market pig. "It's not just steak, Gilbert. It's status." When her plotting succeeds, she rewards him with the unforgettable line, "Right, Gilbert. I think sexual intercourse is in order." She was a happy but reserved child. Her father said she had a private world that he and her mother had no access to. She began acting in school after her parents had moved her to Cowley, a suburb of Oxford. A peer recalled, "If there was a comic part, it would be played by Margaret Smith. She made us laugh, but we never saw her having a possible future on the professional stage." When she was 29, Laurence Olivier, then Britain's most renowned stage actor and the director of the National Theatre, cast her opposite himself as Desdemona in Othello. He was secretly afraid of her, by one account. During a performance, Olivier, annoyed by an offstage argument, slapped her across the face with his hand instead of the usual paper. She was knocked out cold. When she came to backstage, she reportedly said, "That's the first time I've seen any fucking stars at the National." Olivier's stage manager disputes this story. Her first Oscar was for playing an awful teacher in The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie. Her performance was collected and commanding, a manipulative tyrant with a sugared exterior who treats others as pawns to be pushed about. Mr. Coveney saw in this subtle revenge on her Scottish puritanical mother and indeed on her alma mater, Oxford High School. Her second golden statuette was for Neil Simon's California Suite, in which she played a British actress awaiting the Oscars ceremony in a luxurious hotel room with her bisexual husband as her moods vacillate between brittle hope of winning and deep gloom. She was also nominated for playing a prim chaperone, an eccentric roustabout aunt, and in 2001 for the role that began her late flourishing. Her career followed the inverse of most actresses. Her fame grew in tandem with her age. Unlike many actors, she was totally unconcerned about playing a dislikable character, and therefore liberated to play such parts with brio, gushed Julian Fellowes, the screenwriter of Gosford Park and Downton Abbey. In each of those period dramas, she plays a posh widow who looks upon her small, refined world with protective disdain. "Bought marmalade?" she sniffs in Gosford Park when a maid brings her breakfast in bed. "I call that very feeble." On her deathbed in Downton Abbey, she hushes her sobbing maid. "Stop that noise! I can't hear myself die." In 1999, a very young Daniel Radcliffe played David Copperfield opposite Ms. Smith's Betsy Trotwood. The director told the boy, "Whatever happens, you will never again play the title role in a famous novel with Maggie Smith." 2 years later, he was Harry Potter, and she, appropriately, was Minerva McGonagall, a professor of magic who could transform herself into something completely different. A tabby cat. Her first marriage fell apart. Her husband, Robert Stevens, a fellow actor, was desperate to be a megastar, but never quite made it. She eclipsed him, though she was far less interested in fame, and he resented it. After putting up with his furniture smashing and affairs for a while, she sensibly married a non-actor, Alan Beverley Cross, a playwright whom she had known since her late teens. It was a happy second act. He was rock-like and steady, which perfectly complemented her anxious obsessiveness. Her sons, with Stevens, both thespians, one a Bond villain, called her an extraordinary mother and grandmother. Still, she could summon her sternness when it suited, even if in real life it had a great deal more gentleness behind it than either of her dowagers. On a British talk show, while discussing how her Harry Potter role had introduced her to a new generation of fans, she recalled a boy asking her, "Were you really a cat?" She paused for just the right amount of time. "I heard myself saying, 'Just pull yourself together.'" No doubt he did.